Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
11 o'clock hour here on a Tuesday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold with you. We got Drew Nixon producing the show. Jay Binkley in for Cody Tapp. We'll get to the trash of the day here in about 18 minutes or so. Also, we're a half hour away from the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll get right back in to the Chiefs, including what that theme might actually be throughout camp and throughout the 2025 season. But the Royals tonight are back at home, Bink. They kick off this homestand. A big one against the Rays, who are playing really well. The Dodgers, who are consistently one of the best teams in baseball. I think at last year, were they 15, 17 above 500, leading the NL West. They're going to win the NL West. Shohei Ohtani may be slated to pitch on Saturday. We'll see. They haven't officially announced that. Maybe he pitches two. Maybe they stretch him out to two innings. Stretch, if not, it's been one.
Be. Yeah. Could be.
So you might have that, which it could be a draw. But
he was very good in the fishing this last time out.
I know none of these are divisional opponents. One of them's an AL team. One's an NL team. But given what we had discussed about the road trip where they went 4-2 and they cut the four game under 500 down to two game, they cut it in half. Two games out of a playoff spot. I didn't look to see what happened last night. Maybe they're 2.5 now. I'm not sure. Of course, today's a full slate of MLB action. But this series... And this week is so massive because if you're trying to judge them against quality, what we think will be two playoff teams, Dodgers like 100% will be a playoff team. The Rays, I would say, probably like an 80 to 90% chance will end up being a playoff team.
They're just two, so they're right. Motivated to. They can take over the Yankees.
It's weird. Like on one hand, you say, hey, this is a good week, a barometer to find out where are you at compared to the playoff teams. You're going to play three or four straight series against playoff teams. I would agree with that. That will be how people determine where they're at. It's more about the number than how do they stack up against the Dodgers. We already know the Dodgers and the Yankees are up above the Royals. The Royals are outclassed against those teams. Now, can you be outclassed, but you don't get, you know, absolutely swept by them? The Royals, as they currently sit without going out and trading for a bat, there's no debate. We know the Dodgers are better than the Royals. I don't need to see them play on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to figure that out.
The Rays not, but they're very good.
Yeah. I think more importantly, the one you got to have if you can find a way to win a series is this first one. The Rays are playing well, but this is the one when you take a look at their lineup and pitching staff. Yes. The Dodgers, you know what you're going to deal with on Saturday. It puts an immense amount of pressure going in the Dodgers series if you get swept by the Rays 100%. Or something like that. You want the series win, but you cannot get swept by the Rays to kick off this homestand and make it 9 straight home losses.
Yeah, and you've lost 6 straight series at home, so that'd be 7. So that's when the pressure starts. I've lost 7 straight series at home, but everybody's in the same division. That's how you kind of look at things. Yeah, you look at this division, Cleveland, Minnesota, Chicago. That's fine. Detroit's kind of running away with this thing at this point. But everybody in the American League, as we mentioned, 9 teams within 2.5 games of the wild card. Everybody's essentially in the same division. So all these games, and they're going to be playing Seattle soon. So Seattle, the Rays, teams like that. The Dodgers, National League, different. But it's still a showcase how talented you are going against the very talented Dodgers team. Big money team, over $200 million, who you're going against. It's just you can't let 7 become 8. Series lost at Kauffman Stadium. This is where you got to do damage. And again, it was disappointing they didn't win the last game against San Diego. They were that close to doing it. They should have done it. Should have come back 5-1 road trip and start feeling good about yourself. Not at the 4-2 you all, but a little bit different being 5-1.
It can definitely clear up potentially some of the what should they do at the deadline conversation. If it turns into a great homestand, if it turns into a disastrous homestand. I told you in a weird way, considering the opponents, if they went 3-3, normally you don't want that at home, but I right this second, I would take a 3-3 homestand knowing the opponents. It at least keeps you around. It at least keeps you in the mix. I know some people obviously want them one way or the other, either to go out and have a great 4-2 homestand or bomb, and that way they can just
completely move on. Cartwheels. I mean, that would be epic.
Hell of a homestand. Yeah. Tonight, by the way, Chris Bubich gets the nod. We all know he's going to give you a chance to win every single time. But can the offense come around? And that's why I thought some numbers were interesting. Royals data put this out yesterday about the 1-5 hitters. And we know that's been the story of the entire season. What are the guys you got to count on? Vinny, Salvi, Bobby, India to a certain extent. What are they doing? You might be surprised in this month. So June 24th. So in this entire month to this point in time, the Royals are 5th in batting average, 1-5. Their 1-5 hitters are 11th in on base, 6th in slug, 7th in OPS. And they have the lowest strikeout rate of 1-5 hitters in all of baseball this month.
They're way. As a team, they're one of the lowest in Major League Baseball.
But 1-5, that's an improvement. Yeah. But the big problem still is what we all know, and that is, well, that's great that they're now the fifth in month in June, you know, fifth best batting average, 1-5. But runners in scoring position, they are still towards the very bottom of the league. And that's the thing. I think, you know, I saw the number, I think, with Vinny, right? Vinny's been hitting great. He's still, though, with runners in scoring position, struggling. The Royals is a team.
With the most chances.
The Royals, they haven't had many opportunities with the bases loaded, but they don't have a single extra base hit when the base is loaded here in 2025, the entire season. So while it's promising to see in June 1-5 hitters, I just told you the numbers, they're top 10 in baseball in multiple categories, 1-5. But not in what appears to be the most important for this team this year, because it was last year when they were one of the best, and that is runners in scoring position. That still has to change.
That's got to change if you're going to make a run. Again, you don't want to waste this window of opportunity with this pitching. And yeah, I'm looking forward. Yes, the Dodgers going to be fun, and Ohtani and all that. That's fine. But this Rays series, man. I mean, this is the one. They've been very close with the Rays. These games have been very close with the Royals and Tampa the last 2 years. Royals split with them last year, 3-3. They were 3-4 against them the year before that. But they're sitting right there as a pest. They have dreams of coming to Kansas City. They're looking at your record, and they're thinking, can they catch the Yankees? That's what they're thinking of the Royals. That is how they're viewing coming to Kansas City. But the good news is, throwing Chris Bubich out there, just got to get the bats to perform, unlike what happened in San Diego. And you would think, can the bats return to what they were doing in Texas? There's some nice games.
That's the outlier, though, right? I mean, that's the thing.
It is,
like,
at this point, it is.
I hear you, like, return. Like, that was not the norm, though.
It
and
isn't.
That's the thing. It's not even really returning to what they were in Texas. That was the out of nowhere 9 home runs on the beginning of that road trip. That's just not what they've been. What they were on Saturday and Sunday in San Diego, that's what they've been 90% of this season offensively.
Well, the good news is because you got Walker right after Bubich.
This
is your 2 year big dogs right now going back to back.
The pitching staff is going to give you a chance to win. We know that. That's happened throughout the season. I just wonder, can they continue to do enough to stay in it to where there's an actual opportunity to go and trade for a bat to help this offense? Or do they not stay afloat because of the quality of competition they're about to face? And then it's very clear that they should sell some of these pieces. That's what the next 2-3-ish weeks are all about. Tonight, by the way, over at FanDuel, the Royals are actually favorites against the Tampa Bay Rays. They're -136 on the money line. Although Vern, I think, has pointed out a few times that the Royals, I don't know if the streak is still going. Games in which they're a favorite. Like, they've lost like 9 straight games in which they've been a favorite. So their favorites tonight, -136, Bradley going for the Rays, Bubich, as we said, going for the Royals. The total for tonight, over under 8.5 runs. That's the game total, not the Royals run total.
I like the under
for the game.
You know, I mean, Bradley gives up some runs.
Royals,
but the
total
runs
over under set at 4.5. Would you take the over or under?
Under.
On that? I mean, it's -130.
Even though Taj Bradley has not been great this year, 4.95 ERA, almost hovering around 5. He does have some high strikeout numbers, but Bubich. Yeah, you expect the best out of Chris Bubich. Would you take the under
on Royals runs tonight?
I take it on both.
Most nights, I think, if I were to go back and look, if any time the under is 4.5, like, you'd be winning money this year. Clearly, right? Like, Royals team total runs, anytime 4.5 is on the board, and you just took the under every single game this year, there's no way you're not profitable.
And it matters because you and I are 1-2 in Vern's little pick'em segment. So,
yeah,
hey,
I've got
throwing some stuff out
I've
there.
Got a side bet. A buddy of mine, when the Royals were sliding a week and a half ago or whatever, the road trip, right? Or the homestand when they were 0-6 or whatever, right in the middle of that, it was the second Yankees game. He made a bet with me and he said, I bet you the Royals will be 5 under .500 at the end of the month. And so I said, deal, I'll make the bet. I said they wouldn't. He said they would. So it comes down to this week. They're two under. They got six games. He needs them to be five under 500. I said they won't be five under. So this is a sweat week. I need them to do it against the Rays because I don't know what's going to happen this week against the Dodgers. So two wins against
the
Rays.
The All-Star break's very interesting for this team.
If I got two wins against the Rays for the bet that I have with him, Bink, then it's over already. Then I can't lose the bet at that point, right?
No.
It'd be one under. The plus three is four. So we'd be good.
So who do the Royals have before the All-Star break besides these games? I know they have Seattle
Paul Skeens and the Pirates. Hopefully he gets to come to Kansas City.
That's a nice series to get some W's on. Unless Skeens, but you can...
I don't know if they'll avoid Skeens
but
or
Skeens
not.
But Skeens has been losing, even though his ERA is crazy.
Well, he's losing because his team sucks.
They're really bad. Yeah, and then, of course, the Mets to kind of send things into the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And they've slipped behind Philly.
Yeah, the Mets hit like eight home runs the other night in one game. Soto had two. They were destroying the baseball. They were on a losing streak, and they just hit like eight home runs in a single game, I think. We'll get to the trash for the day in 9 minutes right here on Cody and Gold. You found something, though, about this offseason for the NFL, and a reminder of, hey, the offseason crown doesn't mean a thing.
No, because you see the constant articles. We all look at them. You know, NFL.com, sports.com, ESPN, doesn't matter. You're looking at them, and they'll say, these five or these seven teams are the teams poised to take the next step. You see all these articles about toughest schedules, wins and loss. Look, the Chiefs have a tough schedule. They don't have a tough schedule. Who's got the toughest schedule in the NFL? I just always laugh when I see that. Like, I always laugh when I see that because that just doesn't matter whatsoever. And I told you yesterday kind of in passing there that 20 of the last 23 teams that have won divisions or the 20 of the last 23 years – teams that actually won the division didn't even make the playoffs the year before. That is so hard to do W's and L's when you're looking at teams. And you go back even 50 of the last 53 have not won the division but made the playoffs after not making it the year before. So when you count all these factors, remember when the Jags were so good and then they made the postseason, they won a playoff game, and they just collapsed.
Blake Bortles.
But you get that skill. No, even with Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, you're just talking about the Chargers game.
Yeah, when they came back and won that game, you're thinking, okay, if the Jacksonville's on your schedule the next year, you're like, oh, man, Jacksonville's a good team. I mean, they're up-and-coming team. They had a chance to beat the Chiefs until Chad Henne beat them there in the playoffs. Good base football team. But they weren't. They were terrible. So it's always tough to go in that direction. But I always get a kick out of which teams went more. And what they do is who spent more. Like, who spent the most money? Matter of fact, all the way from 2023, the six previous years, three of those six teams didn't even make the postseason that spent the most money, like spent the most money in football. Last year, the Carolina Panthers spent the most money in the offseason, so everybody thought, oh, this way, take a step forward. They did. They did a little bit, but they still weren't that good. Like, the Panthers, yeah, Bryce Young started to be served, but that wasn't a good football team. And they spent the most money in the National Football League. Denver, in 23, spent the most amount of money in all of football. They ended up going 9-8 in the year they spent the most money. Of course, Russell Wilson's contract was a big part of that. What I'm saying is the teams that are in the top five of spending money in the offseason, because a lot of teams, you base your whole – analysts base everything upon who spent more money and schedule strength, and none of it matters. It's kind of what I'm saying.
So I agree with you on the offseason spending point. If you are out there and you've got a ton of cap space and you're obviously going to overspend if you're in the free agency game, it means you had a bad season the year before and all that. Yeah, typically you're not a very good team, and it usually doesn't translate. I would also say this past season, Bink, might have been a really bad time to have a ton of cap space. You're like, what are you talking about? Look at the way free agency played out and the available talent. How many teams retained their own talent and did not let guys hit free agency? The free agency pool was not good. Like, teams like the Patriots, Commanders had a ton of cap space. Great, especially the Commanders, because they had a great season. So they're not coming. They're not like the Patriots, who were, what, a 3-win team, 4-win team, whatever it was last year. But this was not the best season to have the most cap space. But so much the teams you listed off, Bink, you listed off the Broncos a couple years ago, it all comes down to quarterback. It's not so much of did a team win their offseason or not, and who cares if you were the offseason champs, and because that would be the Raiders in some people's eyes and the Broncos a couple years ago. If you don't have the quarterback, then none of it matters. So yes, the Broncos, their issue is Russell Wilson was pitiful, and so who cares what they spent? Well, obviously, like this offseason, who do you like? The Patriots are that team, by the way, and I actually do think the Patriots are going to be decent this year.
Better,
the Patriots with Mike Vrabel, Drake May in year two, they went out and yes, spent some money. Like, I don't think the Patriots are a 10 or 11 win team this year, but they could be a 9. Team. Yeah, well, the Titans.
Number
are,
one on the clock.
No, I don't think anybody thinks the Titans are winning more than five
some
games
of the,
this year.
Those
though.
Teams were so bad, though, that they. That they
sure.
Like if the Patriots win 7 games this year, that's a really good improvement. And a lot of it is based on what they did in the draft, Drake May getting better, and the free agency stuff. That doesn't, to me, I think you're right in the fact that people make sometimes
too much
of it. But in order, like the Panthers spent a lot of money on offensive line play last year. The last five games of the year, they look like they could contend for the NFC South this upcoming season. So I think that's something to pay attention to. It's not necessarily just for one season that they're doing these acquisitions for.
The Panthers spent $259 million, most of any team in the National Football League in the offseason. They improved by 3 wins. But those three, they were still 5-12. So they're still 5-12. Year before, 2023, Denver Broncos, $259 million. Record, 8-9. 2022, highest spending team was the Jags. They went 9-8. So New England Patriots in 21 spent $291 million.
Again, the teams that have the most cap space that are drafting are bad football teams.
Miami Dolphins 2020, almost $240 million.
To Drew's point, though, a little bit, Bink, if you were the Patriots and you told them they won 9 games this year, they'd be ecstatic. They would be thrilled. It'd be a huge sign of growth and improvement
and clearly
for that franchise.
And Drake May's probably the guy going for it. Yeah, everything's good for them.
If your expectation is, hey, they had a great offseason, they're now going to be a 12-win team. Well, yeah, that's going to happen once out of every 30 times, if that. You know, I don't think that's, it depends on how you're perceiving, hey, they had a great offseason, look out for them. If you're saying, hey, the Patriots had a great offseason, look out, and you think it's a 12-win team, yeah, well, then that I disagree with.
But
that seems crazy.
They're not pretty lame. Here's what Fox put out. There's some interesting stuff on here.
But you hear all though, Bink. But the logic there, yes, the Broncos even, they spent a ton of money a couple years ago with Russell Wilson. They stunk.
But it doesn't
Russell
sustain.
Wilson stunk. Fast forward 2 years.
Okay, I get it.
Fast forward 2 years, Bink, and last year they were a 10-win team, and now we think they're at least going to be a 10 or 11-win team again.
This
argument that, like, it doesn't work for multiple years, I would give you the Broncos example.
Well, here's the stats that say that you're wrong. Except for the 2016 Jaguars, the team that spent the most money in free agency increased their win total by 3 wins
that
the following
year,
season.
Though, but here's the deal. That year.
However, 7 of those 8 teams saw their win totals decrease the
that
following
season.
So they're not building upon success to this. But check this out. Only 2 of the top 3 spenders in the free agency classes, only 2, 2017 Jags, 19 Packers, reached the conference championship
that's
that year.
That's not what I'm arguing.
None
though.
Of them made the Super Bowl. What I'm saying
I'm not
is,
arguing that they're going to
I'm
the title game.
Is, they, we saw what I'm saying is that we saw instant success, but not sustained success because it went right back down the following year, these big spenders. That's why when I see all these
I'm not disagreeing with
wins
you on
and losses
the,
and teams spending
right,
the offseason,
though,
you're like, who cares?
Gold's right, though, in the fact that it all matters. Like, you can improve your team a lot, but if you don't have a quarterback, it doesn't matter how much talent you have, you're not going to be able to win. Where if you have the quarterback, you
100%.
Sometimes can win with less time, which is why...
It just shows you're not going out and spending a ton of money. It's not the answer.
No, yeah, I agree. But, I agree with you for starters. On that generic point of whoever spends the most money doesn't mean they're going to have a great season. That point right there,
without
adding any other context to it, 100% with you.
Or the record the previous year. Who cares?
I'd be intrigued to find out who the Broncos spent money on the 2 years ago that they did it, because... They didn't have the quarterback, and they stunk. They got a rookie quarterback with all the talent they accrued in years past their free agency, Bink, and drafting. All of a sudden, they were a playoff team.
I don't disagree that the formula for sustained NFL success is never spending a ton of money in free agency. We are on the same
it's
page.
The draft.
There.
Here's the money they spent. Mike McGlinchey, the offensive tackle, 5 years, $87.5
well
million. Guard Ben Powers, 4 years, $52 million. Defensive end Zach Allen, 3 years, $47.5 million. Those are their big expenditures.
Yes.
And then 2 of those guys are part of they had the best offensive line in football. So, and they had a rookie quarterback who actually was good.
But they saw a win increase, then it's usually typically followed by a decrease, which is bad. Teams aren't spending their money wisely.
So last season, then, who spent the most money last offseason, you said?
The Panthers, right?
Okay.
So this year,
so you're,
the Panthers
so
are
you're
better.
Convinced that the Carolina Panthers, who, by the way, last season, how many games did they win?
5.
You're convinced they're going to win like 3 now because you're telling me that it's not sustained. You can't keep on. You can't
say
keep
they
improving.
Would. I can see them staying around the same. 5.
Yeah,
to
I think they're
going to
win 7 games probably
total.
This year. Yeah,
yeah.
They're
so
probably
it's not
win
exponential.
7 games.
It's not. I mean,
right, but that's
still
the
crap.
Yeah, that's the. I don't think anybody that's being serious is trying to argue that you spend a ton of money and you're now going to conference title games the next season, or that you're
But a lot of people think you go get all these free agency and boom, you're look at the Titans
work.
For example spent a crap load of money last year in their defense. when they went out and brought Legarius Sneed and all this, they made stupid moves and they ended up picking first on the clock with Cam Ward.
Yeah, there's just way
they
more context. There's more context that is needed. Like, again, if you with zero context, if you just say the stat, spend a lot of money doesn't guarantee success. We all agree. But did they change coaches? Did they change quarterbacks? Did they have a top pick that year? Is their quarterback in year one or two? There's so many different things of why what go into it. For a particular year, like you're going to probably next year try to cite me the Commanders as an example because the Commanders overachieved. You would agree last year. We all do.
100%.
Jaden Daniels, the real deal. I think they won. What did they end up winning? 12 games last year.
Made the title game. And
there's a good chance that the Commanders win fewer games this year because they had a bunch of veterans and they you're going to come back next year and tell me, well, they spent a ton of money and see they won fewer games. That's where the context is needed because I already think the Commanders are winning a game or two fewer, not because they spent a ton of money in free agency. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't just do a blanket statement about the offseason spending. That's all.
I mean,
that's
the guy, I mean, they did bolster their offensive line. They had something they needed.
Yeah, they got Tunsil. They did.
So they definitely help that situation. And they bring in Debo and things like that. But again, these moves don't typically work. I just think that one stat, too, though, about 53 of 55 seasons since the merger.
Yeah.
A team has not made the playoffs and then made it the following year. That's astronomical.
That's a whole different conversation.
What I'm saying is we see that every year, don't we?
Yeah,
but that's just astronomical. Again, this goes in the equation of who's supposed to be good or bad.
Oh yeah, well that part that's a different a conversation about parity in the league and stuff is different than the argument about spending in the offseason and how much better. But, a team's
I'm saying it
be.
Doesn't translate as much as people think.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the
Titans
trash
are
of the
perfect
day.
Example.
Trash of the day.
All right, guys, let's get to a traffic stop. Drew said speeding's not a big deal. So did you. So this is perfect. I believe that was a direct quote from you guys 20 minutes or so ago. There's a beekeeper sets a few bees loose because of a traffic stop. So this, I don't know where the exact city of this was, but there is a city in Spain where they stopped a 70-year-old beekeeper for driving without a seatbelt. All right. Yeah. Get stopped. They did a breathalyzer, showed alcohol. Officers asked him to repeat it. He then cursed, threatened him, opened up his van, which released a swarm of honeybees. Yeah. Both officers were stung many times, and they hid in a restaurant until help arrived. The driver fled. They eventually caught the guy, and he was released on bail. Doctors treated the officers. Local reports say the man may already be cleared of assault, though that is not confirmed. Yeah, I don't know how. You intentionally open up the bees? Is that like I don't know what the exact legal circumstance would be there, but this guy intentionally set the bees on officers.
Sounds like assault to me.
Yeah, I don't know what the legal that would play out. You did that intentionally to harm somebody else, even if you didn't actually like physically with your own hand or whatever do
same
it.
Same thing.
I would say that should be. I would agree with you, Benka. See, we can agree on stuff.
Agree.
You know,
we do agree.
It's possible. It's possible.
Actually, I think we agreed.
Part of me thinks that, for whatever reason, I know that Cody's not here, but part of me thinks Cody would argue against that it actually was not assault.
That you can just have...
Correct.
That it wasn't...
He was just doing it to scare them. It turned into something else.
That's not a defense.
I know it's not. But I'm trying to think along the lines of something that Cody would say to try to defend. Well, you know, the guy was just...
Yeah.
You not wearing your seatbelt, though, is
have you been? We've talked about this, but have you been stung by a bee, Bink?
17 times, once.
17?
Well, many times, but 17 and once.
When was that?
Somebody opens up the door. No, just kidding. No, but I was stung 17 times. I hopped in the back of a truck at the lake when I was young.
You hopped in the back of somebody's truck with bees?
Just been sitting there and whatever, the hive, and yeah, I got stung 17 times.
The hive was in the pickup bed?
Yeah, in the bed. It sucked.
Yeah, that's bad luck.
It's
bad.
Tough.
So you jumped in the bed and landed right on the beehive?
Pretty much, yeah.
No way.
It sucked, man.
I bet it did. That's terrible. Whew.
You're lucky you didn't have a major allergic reaction to that thing,
man.
Been
screwed.
I mean, what if someone points that too? Like, yeah, what if one of the police officers were actually allergic?
Then we're talking about EpiPens. Yeah.
Then you're talking about like manslaughter or something.
Yeah,
100%. 100%.
Man.
A lot of people are allergic to them.
Someone said Bink had to ask himself to be or not to be. Thank you, text.
That is the question.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you. Someone says it's a sweet assault.
Sweet assault. Mm.
Drew, you've been stung, you said?
I have not been stung.
People that grow those things. Raise them. There's people that do that to get their own honey or whatever.
You know, to my knowledge, at least, I have not been stung.
That is the trash of the
day. You haven't been stung?
Nope. To my knowledge,
I don't think I have either.
I have not
really.
Yeah, I don't think I ever have.
It. Never hoarded nothing.
A wasp, or obviously, you know, that kind of, but not a actual bee.
I have not. I haven't been stung. Period.
Really?
By anything?
You've had a snake in your apartment.
I mean, like, you've had mosquito bites and stuff.
Oh, okay. A bite versus like a.
You better knock on wood if saying that, because you'll probably go out to your car and get stung.
I'm one with nature, boys. They see me. They don't want anything to do with.
They probably don't like your burrow jersey, to be honest.
That black and orange is very bright.
Yeah,
that orange color is really.
Just don't wear yellow, otherwise the bees will come after you. If you wear yellow, you know.
How long? Now, he'll do it now because I'm bringing it up. How long? If I didn't say anything in this moment, how long do you think it would be till Drew wore any Pacers gear again? Will we see it till like next February?
I haven't seen any.
I'm trying to save up some money to where I can get a Halle jersey because I want to get a Halliburton jersey.
Yeah, you should. As a Pacers
fan. I'm waiting up until that point to get any new gear.
All right, up next, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. The narrative was obvious last year. What do we think it'll be this year heading into the season and what we hear at training camp for the Chiefs based off of what they're saying in Baltimore already that has Bink upset next?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll get to what's happening more and more across multiple NFL teams this offseason around draft picks. Kind of surprising. Is this just the new trend? Is this somebody trying to mess with the status quo, I guess, at this point in time? It includes one Chiefs player, so we'll get to that in just a bit. But you were, I guess, in your free time, Bink, just perusing the internet, checking out the Baltimore Ravens website. Checking out what Lamar Jackson had to say about this upcoming season, and something it kind of struck a nerve for you. It sounds like you're upset.
It wasn't
about
just their website. Everybody took it, but they put it on theirs. So They were the first ones to kind of start it.
And it's that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are looking for vengeance, and vengeance is on the mind, according to Lamar Jackson. And you said for what, which will then get us into what the theme is for the Chiefs, but I don't know. I mean, like, their quest, their vengeance, they're trying to get over the hump.
There's a lot of people who get vengeance. To be honest with you, the Dolphins could have it and say, you know what, much better than this. We made the playoffs a couple years in a row than we didn't.
Yeah.
We got vengeance on our mind. The Bills should say, and Josh Allen, I got vengeance to finally beat Patrick Mahomes.
That's what Lamar's saying about the Bills and the Chiefs.
Exactly. But to me, the only true vengeance you can have if you want to claim pure vengeance is if you lost the Super Bowl. Because then you have something, Tangelo said, we were that close. To have that Lombardi, we didn't get it. This is what we need to do. Lamar and all these, you know, any team can claim vengeance. They can.
Sure.
Even the Broncos can sit there and go, oh, we're better than the Chargers. We're that close to the Chiefs. We can beat them. That's vengeance. But when I hear Lamar saying this, they were running with this too. I mean, the Ravens website put this.
It's minicamp. It's minicamp, man.
I mean, everybody was running with this because, oh, look out for Lamar Jackson. He's got vengeance on his mind. Or is he just mad he didn't get the MVP? That's his vengeance. To take that back from Josh Allen. I understand what he's
doing.
It's
motivation.
He's got three playoff wins. Let's not get crazy here. You guys weren't good once again in the postseason, and you lost. Say you want vengeance. There's a lot of teams that can claim vengeance. But I truly think the real one that can claim it is that that loses the Super Bowl.
Is it just that word? Like, if he would, if that seems what it is.
It bothers me.
If he would have just said, "Hey, we're just going to go out there and try to prove people wrong, or we're going to try to prove that we're better than what we showed."
Vengeance on my mind.
But vengeance, and it has you upset a little bit.
It's just laughable because any team can say this.
Well, sure. So then, why does it matter that he said it?
One can truly say it though. The one that lost the Super Bowl, I feel, is the one team that can say, "We have vengeance. We have some unfinished business."
Okay.
When you take it, they made it. Make it to the Super Bowl and then lose it before you talk.
Someone said, so you're saying they weren't wronged, is what someone says. So that's why they can't have vengeance.
Maybe the Browns think they had vengeance for sucking so bad last year. Maybe the Titans were damn mad. They're the first pick in the draft. Got vengeance from last year. When anybody can say that, talk is cheap. I'm just saying the team that loses the Super Bowl, that's truly the team that can say vengeance.
Okay. Yeah.
So nobody can have vengeance then.
Unless you lose the Super Bowl. The Bengals could have said this after losing to the Rams in the Super Bowl, Drew.
But that wasn't...
They could have said we had unfinished business because we didn't push through, we didn't win it. They had vengeance on their mind.
But if you've never been to a Super Bowl...
against the Rams, though.
If you've never been to a Super Bowl, for the Ravens, they're trying to get to a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson. That's their quest. You just don't like
their vengeance.
You just don't like the vengeance thing. That's fine. All right.
Look at the Ravens and I think they were wrong.
If Lamar said revenge, would you have been happier?
It's kind of the same thing.
All right.
I'm glad we had that.
Got apples and oranges here.
Okay. Yeah. Very semantic.
I'd laugh when
conversation
I see stuff like
there.
That. You laugh when you see it.
What do you actually think, though, that when we get to training camp next month? Last year was simple. Three-peat. The players didn't necessarily talk about it as much, but they were talking about winning. Some did. But they talked about just, hey, when we had guests on, we had different players on. They said it's not so much the three-peat, it's just go win a Super Bowl. It just happens to be the third. But they all knew it was at stake. This year, are we going to hear, like, proven that wasn't us, that we're still here? What do you think the theme is? Because I think from the outside, I don't know if they'll say it, the first 2 weeks of the season and early on in the year, it's going to be about reminding everybody that, hey, we're still here, basically. Don't count us out. Don't forget about us just because we look like crap in the Super Bowl. That's what the first few weeks are going to be about from the outside. At least that's how I think. I don't know if they're saying that. I think Patrick Mahomes clearly is going out there to remind people the first few weeks that, hey, don't forget about us.
I think so. And when you heard what last week, we had fun with it when the players were talking, you know, at the last mini camp. You know, the question was asked with Patrick what he does with his rings. They got their AFC championship rings. They were basically just treated like toys around there because they collect the real things, right? I mean, they did poo-poo it. They did. Mahomes goes, I made a joke. Puts the winning ones in the safe and puts the other ones on top of it. Kelsey.
Drew puts his on the nightstand and loses them.
Drew.
Yeah.
I found out that Matt McGowan actually keeps his very close to the vest because he came in studio. He actually likes those. And I get him. He collects rings. But Kelsey, you know, unless you win the Super Bowl, I love that attitude. But I guarantee you when they get in the tent, you're going to hear it so much. Because last year, the media was all driven. Say three-peat, man. Say it. Some bought into it. Some didn't. But this year will be vengeance tour. We got to get it. They can say it. Again, they can say it. The Chiefs have the right to say it. To get back and reclaim what was theirs. I mean, they're going to be asked about it. Mahomes will talk about it, I'm sure. Kelsey will be asked about Chris Jones, you name it. The bad taste in their mouth from the Super Bowl, that will be brought up at nauseam.
I agree with that.
At nauseam, that'll be brought up.
Joking about the vengeance part, but like I'm with you on just in general. Yeah, it's about reminding everybody that, hey, this isn't over yet. This run is not over yet. It might look a little different. Andy Reid's still the head coach. Travis Kelce's got a year left. Chris Jones is still here. Mahomes is just now turning 30. This thing is not over. The wide receiver room potentially will have everybody available. That's why I really think it could be a lot of fun the first couple weeks if the Chiefs do what I think they might be capable of doing. And that will be like, oh, crap. Looks like it's another year of Kansas City being the top contender in the American League, in the AFC. You know, that's what they have a chance to go out and do.
For years they've been counted out. I mean, even go back 2 years ago. Remember, there's a Crossroads game. Raiders on Christmas Day. Chiefs looked like crap. That was a terrible game. Looked like crap. Then the doubt came in and people really started putting takes out there. They're not going to make the playoffs. I mean, that was the common thought. They weren't going to make it. Then they had the Bengals without Burrow the week after that, and they talked about that being a pivotal game, and I agree, because two roads, dynasty or downfall. It depends on what they were going to do and how they were going to act, were they going to go out and win, and they did. And then they parlayed that to one of the best postseason runs we've ever seen.
Same thing applies to this year, though, right? Don't you agree? Like, if this team were to get off to a bad start, I'm not saying they will, I'm not saying they won't, but if they were to get off to a bad start, and they lost to the Chargers opening night. Can you imagine the overreaction?
Then you get the Eagles in week two. I mean, yeah. It's tough.
If they lose in Brazil to the Chargers, the national narrative, and look, there'll be panic in Kansas City too. Like we've gone through this enough to see what the text line will be like,
meltdown.
But, can you imagine what the narrative is there? People will say, see, this is just who they are. I mean, people, you think they're counting them out. You think people are counting them out now based off of the Super Bowl. If they lose in Brazil, man, it's going to be at a level we haven't seen during this run.
The Chiefs are counted out every time they lose. I used to tell people on the postgame show. I was like, you know what? After the Chiefs lost, I said, don't go home and flip on the NFL Network. Don't flip on ESPN. You may stay away from ESPN NFL Live this week because they're going to talk about the downfall. And last year it was so bad that this was the discussion when they'd win because they had those one score games and blocking the field goal against the Broncos. Oh, they should have lost that one. So instead of Chiefs losses, they had to go by Chiefs wins because they weren't winning by enough style points, not cute enough wins. So people had to find something to complain about. Yes, the sky will be falling if the Chiefs lose the game. And that ought to drive them more because I think the Chiefs this offseason's been the perfect fodder for them. I've told the story back when Danny Parkins and Carrington were doing a show, and they brought on Christian Colon when the Chiefs were on the run, the Royals were on the run. See, I did it too. We're on their run in 15 because everybody was talking nice things about the Royals. They were blowing smoke at them, right? You know, butterflies and everything. Everything's fine with the Royals. Everybody wrote nice articles, except one guy didn't. He wrote that the Royals are going to have a regression, go back to like third or fourth in the division, not be good. What do you think was the one thing the Royals put on their wall? Christian Colon said that article. Was it? You have to find that one thing. The Chiefs don't have to look far. Just turn your computer on, and it's doubt. It's doubt. Look at their social media or whatever. Just the fan bases, the hatred towards the Chiefs, the radio hosts that are going out there in their hot takes and saying the Broncos are going to win, the Chiefs are going to fall. But they say it every year, and that drives this team. I don't think people realize the Chiefs live on that stuff. Like, if you throw that out there, you're not hurting them. You're helping them because they take that stuff to heart. There's no team that I think knows more about what people say about them, and they won't admit it, than the Chiefs.
I just think every team knows what people are saying. I don't know if they're any different in that regard. I mean, if we're just saying athletes acting like they don't hear what anybody said, they all know. They all know it. Some do a better job of making sure you think they don't know. But whether it's the Chiefs, whether it's Cincinnati. So the difference is, what do they do with it? If you're arguing the Chiefs have quote unquote done more with it,
fuel and do good with
sure,
it.
That's a different conversation. But in general,
it works.
Every single team, I don't
it's
care whether you're the Giants, whether you're the Tennessee Titans, it doesn't matter. Like everybody hears it with social media nowadays. You may not actually tweet, you may not actually post things on Instagram, but you see it. Today, there's no way any of these athletes don't see what is said about them. There's just no chance. Some just do a good job about hiding it.
Or your friend texts you from across the country and says, hey, did you just see what so-and-so said? Did you just hear what Colin Cowherd said?
Bink, I'm sure Josh Allen's sick and tired of losing to Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs because he knows every year it's a conversation. That doesn't mean he's not trying hard. You know, I think he's trying harder than anything to beat Patrick Mahomes.
He's still America's darling, though. Despite all that, they still love him until they hate him. Once you're good and you've proven you're good year after year, they'll hate you. Watch the Eagles. They'll start getting a lot of hate themselves. They will. And how you deal with that hate? How will you deal with when people turn from liking you to hating you? It happens.
Yeah, I got you, man. You're good. Yeah, it happens to everybody, Bank. You're right. I mean,
Tim Tebow sold us. He won national titles.
Here, go drink something for a second. No, it happens to anybody. The Chiefs were likable. We all knew that at one point in time, and then until they started winning. This happens in sports all the time. There's a lot of reasons why why things can shift quickly. Most importantly, you win, people start hating you. It's just, we love underdog stories in sports. The minute you're winning all the time, people don't like you.
I can only imagine if the Niners would have had somehow Purdy had won those two Super Bowls. People would hate Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
People will hate the Eagles because of just the brashness of
Sirianni. Well, Nick Sirianni is easy to hate.
The Eagles weren't popular last year anyway.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
They weren't popular last year anyway. A lot of people didn't like the Eagles for the brashness.
That's Sirianni.
It changes things.
That's just Philadelphia. Sorry, I'm reading the text line. That's just Philadelphia and East Coast sports fan arrogance. Someone says, Bink, man. Bink. Someone says, get this man some water. Oh, he's so passionate, he's getting choked up.
I love the huge homer take. what? On every topic.
Oh, I'm not laughing about that.
This one here is funny because you know my reaction to the Josh Simmons pick. That was not a homer reaction. That was not.
You're good, man.
That was not.
913-586-7966.
This idiot hadn't seen it.
Someone said it being swallowed with chew.
No. Just got tongue-tied, man.
You're good, man. 913-586-7965.
You all started stuttering like me, Bank. You're going crazy.
I was like, go get some water, man.
Get another beer.
Go get some beer. Maybe that'll help.
We have some.
There's a lot back there.
Someone said, Gold, how can I capitalize on financially on people sleeping on the Chiefs from a betting angle? Well, there's two areas right away that I think are interesting. One, the Chiefs are only -110 to win the AFC West this year. That has not been the number in recent history, and it goes back to the lasting image of the Super Bowl. A lot of years, the Chiefs have been -280, -400, if not bigger, and I think we all recognize this division is in a really good spot to be competitive and all that. But at -110, if the Chiefs beat the Chargers week one, you're not seeing -110 the rest of the season. So it's as good of a number as you can get right now. And then the other one is, like, it's very, very difficult to win a Super Bowl. I'm not breaking any news here. But the fact that the Chiefs, who have done as much as they have, and have the same head coach, the quarterback that's just now really in his prime, the fact that the Chiefs are 7.5 or 8-1 to win the Super Bowl, it's amazing value for a team that has all they do is get to AFC title games. You feel like it's a lock that they're going to get to that game. 7.5-1 for the Chiefs. That's a bet. Again, if the Chiefs start 2-0, you're never going to see 7.5-1 for the Super Bowl the rest of the season.
And Andy Reid's like, I always love the over-unders. Andy Reid's with the Chiefs, just 2 years ago, is 11.5 wins a year. That's his average.
Mm-hmm.
His worst year in Kansas City is 9-7. That is his worst. So he's now like 12.5 games a year since they've expanded the schedule. That's what you get from Andy Reid. It's almost a guaranteed 12 wins.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that. Oh, it's going to take a step back. But he hasn't. He just doesn't do it.
Heading into camp, there's a storyline that hasn't been discussed much because a credit to the player and I guess the Chiefs at this point, they haven't allowed it to become as much of a detriment to their offseason as in Cincinnati with Shamar Stewart. There's multiple second-round picks and first-round picks in Stewart's case that haven't signed. And Norman Lott's been at every practice and all that, and that's why it hasn't been a distraction or anything like that. But it's really interesting that, one, he hasn't signed, but also he's not alone. There are numerous first, second, third-rounders.
It's all but like five guys in the second round haven't signed.
Do you think that this is it the team's taking a stance, or is this that agents are trying to push a new precedent basically moving forward with some of the guarantees or wording on deals? It's very surprising in today's day and age where everything's slotted, where like there's really no mystery about the dollar amount as much as is we're talking about injury guarantees and clauses and things like that.
And a lot of it thinks it's going to fall like dominoes when Emenwari signs his contract or someone at the top does. Someone needs to do it, though. We saw finally Travis Hunter in the first round get signed, right? And that's a lot of it. But there's no – it's the guaranteed money everybody's complaining about with the second round.
But why has this not been an issue? Why is it an issue this year?
It just wasn't. Just this year it is because of the guarantees. That just changed this year and the way people are thinking about it. But it'll go fast.
Yeah.
When guys at the top start signing, it'll go fast. You'll see second rounders – every day you'll start seeing them coming in before camp. They'll be signed before they get to camp. But again, all but five of them are signed.
But like Norman Lott, he's been at every practice, so he'll be there for the first day of training camp and everything like that. But at some point, it just will be like, has anybody asked anybody? Like, it's funny how it's not a story in Kansas City, but it is in Cincy. And I understand the difference.
It's crazy that Travis Hunter,
Cincy has a first, it's their first rounder. That's the reason why Norman Lott's not a first rounder.
Well, here's part of the problem, first round's guaranteed, second round's not, and that's been their biggest issue.
But even like Travis Hunter, him just signing the contract, dude, he was the second overall pick or whatever he was. I didn't even know that. And I don't know if that's because he's at workouts and he's playing. That might be the thing is where Shamar Stewart's gotten more attention because he's not participating, he's holding court
talking bad about the team. And you also, people are on the side of the player because they know that they've, you know, bungled their the Trey Hendrickson stuff.
I hate that. I hate that phrase.
I knew you would love that.
I hate that phrase so much because I had a friend
who always bungled the whole thing.
With the Texans signed Jaden Higgins, they give him a fully guaranteed contract. That hurts the other teams because they did it. That's what they all look at. So they guaranteed Higgins' contract in Houston, so now everybody wants it.
Gold, you brought up a good point that I think that, you know, the Chiefs obviously they're very well run. It also depends on the individual, I think. But the fact that they didn't let this or it's still not becoming a big deal, even the Jaguars, like Travis Hunter, him not having his contract done was not a big deal. I mean, it was a top three pick.
So I think it goes to show you the organizations and the way that they're keeping things in-house, the way that they're doing things. It's not becoming a huge publicity stunt, huge publicity deal where with obviously in Cincinnati it has been for not just Shamar Stewart but with Trey Hendrickson, other organizations are figuring out a way to keep things under wraps and you know, Eamon Worry, like this news isn't becoming a big deal because the organizations are doing a good job of keeping it in-house and also the character of the players. They don't care whether they're signed or not. They want to be on the field and they want to practice. So shout out to Omar Norman Lott and Eamon Worry and Travis Hunter and those guys.
Exactly. But with Higgins getting a guaranteed, and Cleveland did it as well with Carson Schweissinger, the linebacker, they did it. But here's the other problem, because the Chiefs are part of this problem too. Because the 66th pick, they give Ashton Gelati guaranteed money. So now the guys in between Jaden Higgins and Ashton Gelati, that's the hole. Because these people are wanting guaranteed contracts now. Typically, it's first rounders to get it. But now, since the Chiefs have given Gelati, who wasn't a second rounder, all that money, and Jaden Higgins has it, now all the other second rounders want their guaranteed money. So the Chiefs kind of are part of this problem, too.
We'll see what happens as we get closer to camp, if they just get this thing resolved and be done with it and move on. I mean, at some point, right? You just don't even like it. It hasn't been a big deal yet. But
if you guys get Omar Norman Lott during camp and he still hasn't signed yet, I mean, is that a – I mean, I feel like that's a question you
– I don't know if they'll give us Norman Lott on the show until that happens. So
okay. We won't get a snow cone until he's
– That's right. Yeah, no snow cone until the deal's signed. That's the rule. No, okay. Yeah, we will be up at training camp for multiple shows like we always are.
I don't think that's been asked at all.
I'm with you. It is kind of surprising. Not to hit. I'm talking about just to the organization, but that's because Brett Veach, he'll be available one of the first days at camp. So will Clark Hunt and stuff. Although so much of that's going to be at the stadium.
Andy will talk from the dorms the first day. Tradition.
Yeah, you can go up there for that convo. No, I'm good. I'll pass on the, they're showing up with their microwaves and plasma TVs or whatever, you know.
In creative ways.
They don't even do plasma anymore.
And their Xboxes, you know.
Xbox. Yeah, they'll be playing college football video games.
I wonder, so somebody from the 816 says this, and I think, you know, Patrick Mahomes referenced it in terms of the character of guys that are coming in the room, but also with NIL and all this other stuff, is there, whoever texted in from the 816 says, so with them getting more money, there isn't a rush to get that bag like it used to be with college students, you know, needing money coming out of the league. But I think also to that, though, because they're now getting name, image, and likeness deals, they feel like there's some sort of power there where they can negotiate things in college where them just getting a normal contract that the team gives you, like normally I think because you didn't get money in college, you're like, just give me whatever and I'll take it and I'll sign the deal now. But now that they're able to negotiate in college and get paid, now it's more of a negotiation where I got drafted, but listen here, like I'm going to make sure that I get what I deserve regardless of whether it's the first round or the second round now. So I think name, image, likeness is kind of empowering the players a little bit more where they're not just taking anything they can get. They're actually trying to negotiate these deals and make sure they don't get screwed over, basically.
Because they know how to negotiate now, like you said. Negotiate all through college or hit the transfer portal. Art of negotiation, they've learned. It's made the talent pool better, too.
I was just seeing, as we're at the end of the Chiefs Red Half Hour, Aaron Rodgers, I guess, is doing an interview with McAfee right now, and he says that this year will be the last year playing football. This will be it for him, he says. He's obviously signed a one-year deal with the Steelers. He said, quote, what's a better place to finish than one of the cornerstone franchises of the NFL? He said, yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it. That's why we just did a one-year deal.
I mean, he could have stayed with the Green Bay Packers. I think that might have been more storybook than
Do you actually think this is the last year for him?
Yes.
I mean, also his performance is going to dictate that. I mean, if he's... You know, age, but performance, right? Like, I there's a lot of people who thought last year should have been his last year.
I never take an athlete to their word for when they're retiring. He's so many things. Get to the Super Bowl, you barely lose, you want to come back, you put up a good year. You're like, hey, I think I have one more Emmy, so a lot can change.
Yeah, he also said DK Metcalf's a big part of the reason why he decided to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He also says, when he's done playing, you won't see me. I will not be in the public eye. He says, we'll never see him. Okay. I'll hold you to that one.
I tend to believe that.
Do you?
I believe both things, actually.
So
I believe both things.
I think in theory, yes, he doesn't want to be seen or heard, but I also think we've seen enough that after a year or two of not being in the conversation, he won't be able to handle it. I mean, we've seen plenty of evidence of that.
Yeah.
For someone that says, don't talk about me, he wants people to talk about him.
Yeah,
quite a bit.
I think we'll find it. Like honestly, if he just pops up on McAfee again next year, like he's not with the team, but he's.
I don't think he'll do that. I don't know if he'll do that. Yeah.
Yeah, if we see his name pop up for reasons outside of if he's involved in a conversation regarding whether he's coming back or anything, I don't. Then I think it's obvious. It'll tell. I think time will tell. But I believe him. I think this is it.
Yeah.
Do you think Kelsey would have come back had they won?
We've talked this 100 times. No, I think he would be done right off in the sunset. Yeah, not sure. All right, up next, let's get to what's trending here on Cody and Gold, and we'll get back into the Royals in particular. One player that is not getting enough attention with the season he's having, and we're seeing it with the All-Star voting.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.